We speak with Olympic champion shooter and federal MP Dan Rapaccioli about the opportunity he has to compete at his 6th Olympics as a serving MP. You'll find what he has to say about his reception from all parties and what the shooting community needs to do to better engage with the political process intriguing. This is without doubt one of the most enjoyable and informative interviews we've done so far.
What is the fella's name on third base?
What is the fella's name on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
Welcome to the Go News Australia podcast. It's the podcast for Australian shooters who just want the political interference taken out of shooting.
Welcome to another episode of Gun News Australia, and I've got a special guest with me, Dan Rapaccioli, from MP from New South Wales. How are you doing, Dan? Actually, you're federal MP from New South Wales. How are you doing?
Good, Neil. What about yourself?
Oh, good, thank you. No, I'm fine. I'm just still getting over the heat wave we had here, which I think you would have had up there recently.
Yeah, we have. It's been hot, but cooled down a bit today, which is nice.
Lovely. Okay. So, Dan, you are the member for Hunter, ironically, because you're also a shooter, which covers the area northwest of Sydney, near but not including Newcastle. Is that right?
That's right. Yes, it's around just under 1,000 square kilometres, and we go 4 streets into Aberdeen, around to Sandy Hollow, down the back of Wollombi State Forest to Waiee, back around to Morissette, Toronto, Cameron Park, back up and around through up all the way up to Muswellbrook again. So it takes in Cessnock, Singleton, Muswellbrook as well, and it's quite a large area, around 135,000 voters.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you that, and that's a big chunk. Yeah. Okay, so let's just go, because I appreciate you've got other commitments coming up. You're a pistol shooter. You shoot air and 22. Is that correct?
Air and 22, yep. Predominantly an air pistol shooter now. 22, the free pistol event has been taken out at the Olympics, so I don't really shoot that too often anymore. But, yeah, predominantly an air pistol shooter.
Okay. So going back over your record, first of all, when did you get involved in shooting and how did that happen?
Started shooting it legally at the age of 12, because that's how old you have to be to get a license when you're in Victoria, where I used to live. But I've been going to the pistol club since I was born, pretty much, in Melton there with mum and dad. And yeah, Dad used to call it babysitting. We now call it parenting. But he used to take us to the pistol club every weekend.
Okay. Just to recap, you have represented Australia 5 times at the Olympics. Athens, Beijing, London, Rio, Tokyo in 10-metre air and 22, 50-metre, is that right?
Yep, that's right. So Athens, Beijing, London and Rio were all the 50 metres and the 10-metre air event, and then Tokyo was just 10-metre air event.
Yeah, and you've also picked up gold at the 2018 Com Games. It's interesting because on the Olympic.com.au website, it says 50-metre air pistol, which might be 50-metre 22. Hell of an air pistol otherwise.
That's right, and that's just people that don't understand our sport, obviously. So, yeah. But yeah, I'm reigning Commonwealth champion in the 50-metre event, and now that event's no more. Yeah. I should start for the rest of time.
Yeah. So that puts you on par with Warren Poten in rifle, who's also competed at 5 Olympics. But you're one short now of the appearances of Michael Diamond, Russ Mark, and you'll have to help me here, Lolita
Yevlevskaya.
Yeah, that'll do. Who has competed 6 Olympics, and in fact, she, Lolita, is actually 10 times Commonwealth Games medalist, which is extraordinary. One of the most decorated sports shooters in Australian history. The next Olympics is coming up at Paris. Now, you're an MP, and you recently, I think, you competed at a qualifier in Brisbane.
Yep, that's right.
Keeps you in the running for games number 6. Is that correct?
That's right, yes. Yep. So we've done 4 events. We've got one more event, which is over in Rio. We go there on the 6th of April, is our 5th and final Olympic selection event. And then whoever is number 1 in that event, or after that event, after the 5 scores are added together, they will then get the opportunity to go to Baku in Azerbaijan and Munich in Germany to then try and finish in the top 50 in both those events to get your Q-Rog to be able to go to the Olympic Games.
So we have had quite a few Olympians, sports stars who've got involved into politics, become MPs later in life. You're doing the opposite here. Actually, not quite the opposite, but you are a sitting MP who's potentially going off to the Olympics, which has... Do you know if anybody else has done that?
Yeah, Rick Charlesworth. He was a hockey player in the 80s for Australia, and yeah, he was a member for Perth. He went over and done it as well. So he went over once as a player, and I think once as a coach. But yeah, he represented Australia whilst also being a sitting MP.
Stay with us through 2024 as we delve into the issues that matter to shooters, take the legal actions we need to see, and provide the voting advice that will help shooters get better representation. And don't forget to jump onto our email list. You can find out how in the show notes of this episode. Are you going to be missing any sitting dates if you do go to the games?
Yes, I will miss. I will have to miss a couple of dates here and there along the way, which is okay. The opposition have guaranteed me a pair, which is, so it makes it fair in Parliament House. And honestly, there's a lot of hype and a lot of people talking about this in Parliament House, which is good. The more people that talk about shooting, the better, if you ask me.
Tell me more about that. What are they saying? And I think if you can just also tell me a bit more about what we discussed last time about the inquiries and, just the general interest that's been shown in what you do.
So there's been a massive interest in everybody in the party. So the Labor Party, the Liberal, the Nats, even the Greens and the crossbench, they're all very excited to hear what possibly could happen here if I'm lucky enough to make that Olympic Games team. But people who you would not think, who've never been interested in firearms ever before, they're in that house. They're talking to me regularly about this, about what I do, how I do it, and they're genuinely interested and would love to come and see it one day and actually have a go. So I'm co-chair of Parliamentary Friends of Shooting with Bridget McKenzie, and it's got a whole lot more interest in it now, that especially as somebody in that building is hopefully going to go to the Olympics with the sport of shooting.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to dissect whether they're being genuinely nice about it, because I think you know that shooters, there's a history for this, but we're a cynical lot. I think people would just want to jump, leap over the next sort of couple of hurdles and say, actually, what we want is them to change the laws, which, as you know, is not even a federal matter.
Laws are all done through the state. I get hundreds and hundreds of calls every month from fantastic shooters all around Australia concerned about the laws and what is going on there. And it solely doesn't come under us. None of these come under us. State matters, but happy to still talk to those shooters as well. But we need to make sure we've got good, strong voices in there talking about the sport that we love to do, whether it's recreational shooting, whether it's competitive shooting, whether it's hunting. No matter what it is, we've got to make sure that we've got the right people in there singing the right tune.
You touched on something which is a message that I've been pushing, and that is shooters need to see their local MPs, and I'm talking about state and territory, rather than just sit home and stew about the laws they don't like. Can you just talk us through the value of doing that? Appreciating that you're crossing the state boundary here, but from your perspective in terms of the proportion of people in the community who actually make a phone call and what it means to you, how do you read that?
So there's with it, it's fantastic. This is what an MP does, whether it's local MP, whether it's a state MP, whether it's a federal MP, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, even a local councillor. They are there to hear the concerns from people in their area, and that their job is then to take that either to Canberra or to Sydney or to Melbourne, wherever they are, and to talk to the ministers about concerns of what people are having in their areas. So our door is always open. I love hearing the different stories that we get from people, and you get some unique stories. You get some heart-wrenching stories as well. You get some people are just going through major things, and they come and openly talk to you about it, in hope that you can do something about it. Your local, your state MP or your federal MP, if you have an issue in any of those areas, they can be so helpful. And you need to reach out to them, because most people will sit at home and just complain about things, but be proactive and go and speak to your MPs, because that's what they are there for. And if you're talking to the wrong one, they'll happily listen to you and then let you know that that's a state matter or a federal matter and you need to go and talk to this person. But I can't stress enough, the fact is that you need to go out and talk to them, because we get nowhere sitting on our couch yelling at the TV. We only get answers by going and talking to people.
Yeah, exactly. And you always know that for every one person who comes into your office, there's going to be a certain number of others. So I think there is a bit of a rule of thumb, isn't there, that you can apply to this?
Yeah, there is. I don't know. I don't exactly know what it is. The office, my lovely office team deal with that side of things. But it's you get answers quickly. And that's the best part of this job, to be perfectly honest, is the fact of being able to help people. And you really can do that in this role, where their biggest issue to them at the moment, and it's a federal issue, they call us or come and see us, and within a few phone calls, we can have an answer for them, something that they've been trying to get for 6, 12, sometimes 2 years, waiting for an answer on something, and just nobody has been able to help them. We can get them an answer. It's not always the answer they want to hear, but it's always an answer. So we can go behind the scenes to groups and talk to them as well, which is a good thing.
Yeah. This episode of Gun News Australia is brought to you by Politics Reloaded. Make sure you follow our podcast or simply join our email list at politicsreloaded.com. Now, appreciating that our traditional sporting organisations don't exist for politics, they exist to run ranges and events. As you know, some of them have strayed into that political space, and there's been other groups that have been formed around that. You know, there's been political parties where they've had people elected to state and federal parliaments. There's groups like Gazelles, which are advocacy. So you've got a wide range of people who are trying to, I guess, deal with the same issue, the political challenge that we face. Is there something we're not doing that you think we need to do, or is there something we're doing wrong in that space? What is it that we could do to improve our ability to engage in and use the political process?
There's lots we can do differently there, to be perfectly honest. Us as shooters, we're extremely passionate people about what we do in our sports, but we're also very sceptical as well in what we do in our sports and what people are trying to do to our sport. And the best thing is we need to use people and actually hire people who understand government, that understand that we can talk to as groups, shooting groups and sporting organisations and hunting organisations. Mm. We need to make sure that we're employing the right people that put that amazing passion and scepticism aside and can actually just have a conversation with the lobbyist or with the MP, but we need to make sure we're working together with lobbyists and lobbyists that are like-minded in what we are. And there's many, many of them out there that really are, but they take the passion out of it and they just talk clearly in facts. So we sometimes get very, very excited and passionate and push our agendas, but sometimes come across the wrong way, just because of how passionate we are about what we do.
It's funny, when I started asking the question, I could see from the expression on your face that I was asking the right question there. And what you're saying is actually very aligned with I guess, and I'm not a former MP. My involvement in politics hasn't been in the major parties, but I've always believed that, yes, that in fact that passion, it stops and we can't bridge that gap. And it's that skill set that we need, and you don't need the best hunter, you know, subject matter experts. You don't need the best hunters or pistol shooters or whoever it is to actually do that. You need people who can step in the world of politics. It's a different game. And what you've just said, it's very interesting. I think it means that there's a lot of well-meaning people. We've made a lot of attempts. We've done lots of things, set up lots of different political parties, but we've been unable to bridge that gap.
And there is meaning people in all of our organisations to do with shooting all around. We have amazing volunteers. Most people involved in shooting are volunteers. There's really very little money in it in most forms. So with that, that's where the passion comes in, because we're doing it. We're not doing it because it's a job. We're doing it because it's our lifestyle. It's what we love to do. It's what we like to do with our friends. It's what we go away and do. So, but this is where we need to employ people. And there's some great people doing great things out there right now in all the shooting organisations. There certainly is. But sometimes you just need to employ those right lobbyists and get them behind and pushing the right agenda and being able to talk the right lingo with these people as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because I, despite my comments, and I perhaps was remiss not to acknowledge the fact that we have people who actually do understand politics and have actually engaged it in the right way. It's just that there's too few of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You're 2 meters and 2 centimeters tall, which means, I guess, you're usually at the back of those parliamentary photos in the back row. Is that right?
Definitely always in the back. And if I'm in the front, there's some poor bastard behind me is getting blocked out. So I weigh 145 kilos as well, so I'm a big unit.
Okay. Just one last thing. I'm interested in the narrative around shooting. One, I don't know if you've picked up on anything that any of the work we've done today, but I've also got a theory that part of the problems that we have stem from how some politicians talk about what we do. And it's usually in the context of what I call guns and crime, that's the starting point. And then as a byline, oh, yes, there's sporting interests, there's law-abiding shooters and that kind of thing. And it becomes a throwaway line that they recognise. Whereas I'm starting to think the real picture should be about guns and sport. Yes, with the recognition that there's crime out there, let's not let the tail wag the dog on this. Because I do think that if our political leaders were to talk about use of firearms in that context, still recognising both interests, but putting it, I think, in reverse order because of the number of shooters out there that are doing the right thing, that could get picked up by the media and fed through the community. I mean, that might be wishful thinking, but I'm interested in the narrative. Have you sensed, is there a resistance to do that?
It's definitely not wishful thinking, Neil, I can tell you that. Anytime we need to make sure that we have our political leaders, leaders in the community, leaders in areas of what we do. Whenever something is happening in our sport that we do, we need to make sure we're talking about it. We need to really put forward the good foot that we have and the good work we do. Like you look at the people from Field and Game, they do fantastic work in conservation in all of our wetlands. You look at our sporting shooters who've won Olympic gold medals, Commonwealth Games gold medals for Australia. And like we do so much great things in the sport of shooting, whether it's the hunting side of thing, whether it's the conservation side of thing, whether it's the sporting side of thing, it doesn't matter. And whether it's just the volunteers going there to have an enjoyable time. We do so well in our sport. We just don't, shooters, we don't show that enough. We don't portray that enough. We don't blow our own trumpets as such. We need to back ourselves in. And because a lot of shooters think that the media is against them and everyone's against them, they choose not to do that. But this is where we need to, the leaders in all those areas need to make sure they're pushing hard and showcasing what shooting really is. Because shooting is an amazing sport, something that's I've travelled the world from being a pistol shooter, and I'll be perfectly honest and say I'm in my role as a federal MP because of what I've done in my sporting career. And I'm only there because of that, nothing else. People like myself don't get these opportunities to do this. So sport has got me there.
Okay, look, Dan, thank you so much for that. That was absolutely fascinating to talk to you, and I'm mindful that you've got other commitments on, so I will let you go. But look, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Neil, and thank you, listeners.
Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and that you're on our email list. And don't forget to check the episode notes, because that's where you'll find out how you can support us. Plus, let us know if you want something promoted on the podcast. Maybe you've got a shoot coming up that you want to promote. Just let us know. We'll see you at our next episode of Gun News Australia, brought to you by Politics Reloaded.